You're listening to the Employment Rights Online podcast, where we discuss everything employment rights and the job. Hi there. We hope your employment rights are continuing to provide you with the support and the representation that you need. If you are paying for this, this is the least you should expect your representative to do for you. This week, we begin our mini-series on differences in pay between men and women in the workplace and how to deal with this if you are being paid less for doing the same job as your work colleague. In this episode, we look at gender pay gap reporting and what this requirement is supposed to do for you in your workplace. Gender pay gap reporting is back in the spotlight following updated guidance issued to employers by the Government Equalities Office, which has now added the requirement for organisations and businesses with over 250 employees to publish gender pay gap information on their company websites. The published information also has to include what the company is doing to fix the differences in pay between men and women. What this means is that if you are thinking about taking a job with a large company, you must be able to go onto the company website and look at how the company is addressing any differences between the average hourly earnings of men and women. The gender pay gap, though, should not be confused with unequal pay. Unequal pay is the unlawful practice of paying men and women differently for performing the same or similar work or work of equal value. Gender pay gap reporting first became a thing in 2017 when government guidance in the UK first went live. Since then, companies have to share information on the pay differences between men and women who work for them. This is done to make sure that everyone knows about unfair pay differences, and the guidance is also there to encourage companies to take action to make things fairer. Since its mandatory introduction in 2017, all organisations and businesses with over 250 employees have to work out how much more men or women get paid on average in relation to gender. They also have to look at how many men and women work in different pay levels in the company, like senior management, for example, and how many men and women get bonuses. But we have gender inequality legislation, you might say. So why is it necessary to make it mandatory for companies to report on the pay status of men and women in their organisations and businesses? Well, gender pay gap reporting was necessary because it had widely been documented in study after study that there is still a worrying pay gap between men and women in many workplaces, with women often being paid less than men for doing the same job or for doing work of equal value. That being the case, this difference in pay is recognised as a form of gender discrimination that has persisted for many years, despite laws and policies designed to promote equality. By introducing gender pay gap reporting, the aim is that increased transparency will lead to greater awareness of the issue and encourage employers to take action to address and eliminate pay disparities. So what's in gender pay gap reporting for you? How do you benefit from this mandatory set of information, all these facts and figures, that your employer has to report to government and report on its website? Well, the benefits of gender pay gap reporting for employees are significant. First and foremost, it provides greater transparency around pay differences between you and your colleagues based on gender, which can help to reduce illegal differences in pay. Remember that unequal pay positioning which some companies adopt? It helps to reduce that by encouraging employers to take action to address pay differences and by shining a light on the issue of men being paid more than women and men possibly having more access or better access to higher paid jobs, or indeed being paid more for doing similar jobs of equal value to the jobs held by women. Gender pay gap reporting can also help to shift attitudes and perceptions around the value of women's work and women's contributions in the workplace. Gender pay gap reporting can also help to improve employee engagement, and it also helps to improve your loyalty to the company, both of which can act in a positive way by helping companies to retain workers. When you feel that your employer is committed to gender equality and is taking steps to address pay disparities, you're more likely to feel valued and supported in your role, and these feelings can lead to increased job satisfaction, loyalty, and productivity. You're more likely to want to stay in that job if your employer is very visual about improving equality and diversity in their company. And for your employer, well, your employer is expected to take gender pay gap reporting seriously and to use the information they gather to take steps to address pay disparities. It's no longer acceptable for employers to keep pay secret, which is how things used to be. Individual employees have the right to their salary being privileged information only to themselves, but the pattern of pay can no longer be kept secret, which is how things used to be. Even when employers were fully aware about issues like women's unequal access to higher paid jobs or how unequal pay was alive and well in the company. Actions your employer can take to address matters of pay disparity might include things like conducting a review of pay practices and policies with a view to changing that organisational culture about the value of women in the company, and about any cultural practice that leans towards a perception that certain jobs are for certain genders. Companies can also provide training and development programs to support women's career progression, and they can also set targets to improve gender diversity and representation at all levels of their organizations. Employers are also expected to communicate their gender pay gap data to their employees and to other people linked to the company, like stakeholders, and to the public, which, aside from publishing the information on company websites, they might be able to do this by publishing the data in their annual reports or in other documents which are accessible to the general public. Employers who fail to comply with gender pay gap reporting requirements may face legal action, and if so, that damages their reputation. The government has taken to naming and shaming companies in public if they breach the guidelines around gender pay gap reporting, and in 2022, 28 organisations had not complied with their legal obligation to report their gender pay gap data for the 2021-2022 tax year, which at the time was expected to be reported on the 30th of March and the 4th of April 2022. And by July 2022, those reports had still not been received. Now, we don't know what happened to these companies, but what we can say is that if these companies or any company continued to fail to comply with the requirements to provide gender pay gap data, or indeed if these companies or any company provides inaccurate or misleading information, companies may face fines, legal action, or both. The Equality and Human Rights Commission, the government organisation responsible for gender pay gap reporting, can also investigate employers who fail to comply with the reporting requirements, and they can take legal action to force them to comply. In the 2022 batch of companies that failed to comply, Remember, there were 28 of them. One company that was listed was Costco Wholesale UK Limited. Everybody knows Costco. A huge company where on average 46.5% of the workforce are women. Now, we don't know whether Costco went on to comply, and we'll find out later on if they didn't, because they will be named publicly, just as they have been named in 2022. Now, progress in removing gender pay disparities has been slow, and there is still a worrying gender pay gap in many workplaces. According to the Office of National Statistics, the gender pay gap for full-time workers in the UK was 7.5% in 2021, down from 9% in 2020. And what that means is that women who work full-time generally earn 7.5% less than men who work full-time. So, for example, if a man earns £10 per hour, a woman in the same job with the same qualifications and experience might earn only £9.25 per hour, which can amount to a pay disparity of at least £750 per year for every £10,000 of salary that is earned. Now, 7.5% is a decrease from the gender pay gap in 2020, which was at 9%. But what analysis shows is that while any reduction in the gender pay gap is positive, it is important to note that there is still work to be done to achieve true gender equality in the workplace, and closing the gender pay gap will require continued effort and commitment from employers, from policymakers, and from society as a whole, including yourselves as employees and workers, both male and female, who should continue to speak up and speak out about this issue, because it will contribute to the elimination of gender pay gaps and move us towards achieving true gender equality in the workplace. And that's it for this week. In next week's episode, we'll lift gender pay gaps from print pages and look at how the gender pay gap plays itself out in the world of work. Our takeaways for this week are that gender pay gap reporting is an important tool for promoting gender equality in the workplace. By increasing transparency around pay disparities and encouraging employers to take action to address these disparities, it can help to reduce the gender pay gap and improve employee engagement and retention. Employers who take gender pay gap reporting seriously and use the information they gather to drive that change, well, they're likely to be the employers who attract and retain top talent. It's as simple as that. These employers will always be the employers who will improve their reputation and who will contribute to a more diverse and inclusive workplace. And it's these types of companies who continue to score higher on any list of the top 100 companies that employees wish to work for. Remember, you can find all our support links at the bottom of the show notes for this episode. And if you would like to book a consultation with us to look at bullying or abuse, which you may be suffering at work, or any other type of employment rights concern that you may have, you can email us at employmentrightsonline@gmail.com. Or alternatively, you can go directly to our consultations booking page using the consultations link, which is also in the show notes. Finally, remember you can help us by sharing our podcast information with your family, friends and colleagues, and by leaving us a review on iTunes or a rating on Spotify if you enjoy our podcasts. Until next week, have the best employment rights week that you can. Bye for now.